Hello, and welcome to Earning Your Stripes, a special series featuring West Des Moines Community Schools Superintendent Dr. Matt Adams. In this series, Dr. Adams will interview students, staff, parents, and community leaders. Each play a very important role in supporting student success. Enjoy this latest episode.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to my podcast, Earning Your Stripes. I tell you what, if you're listening today, this is the one I've really been waiting for. Miata, I met a long, long time ago. I saw her at a football game. I said, I know I'm scheduled to talk to you, and this is going to be one of my favorites. Miata Alwyn, she's here with me today. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's really cool that you do something like this for students.
Well, I tell you what, I want to hear student voice. And as you get to know me more and meet me, I really believe we have arrived as a school district when the students are running things. So, and when I think about student leadership, I think about you. I met you a year ago when I just took this job as superintendent. I've had a number of interactions with you, watching you lead the whole way. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun today talking about your experience in school. So let's get at it. You know, one of the first things that I heard when I came into West Des Moines schools is the belief in the four A's, and that would be academics, arts, activities, and athletics. And I think this is great, well-rounded students. Students need to get involved in their school beyond just going to the classroom. So talk to us about how are you connecting with your school?
Absolutely. For me, my big A is activities. My main involvements are RISE, the Refugee and Immigrant Student Embassy, CORE, Community of Racial Equity, and the World's Culture Club, which I'm the vice president of. All of these clubs work to celebrate, inform, and advocate for students of color and their cultures. I believe in making education accessible for all kinds of students. Personally, because of personal experience, my focus has been like refugee and immigrant students because I was in their position once when I first moved here middle school. Even though I knew English, I was fluent in English when I came here, I was still required to be in like ESL classes, and I was taking standardized testing for that until my sophomore year of high school, even though I really never needed them. And I've realized that the system is not meant for for those students to succeed. And I want to help them achieve that in whatever way that may be. So in RISE, we have a guest speaker series with the local nonprofit organization of Culture All, where we have community leaders come during encores, which all students can sign up for, not necessarily just RISE students, where they come and they share their personal experience as immigrants and refugees in this country and their success stories and how they were able to make something for themselves, you know, being new in a country, and also give them the opportunity to connect with somebody who knows their experience. Not only that, but also they help with any club activities that we may have. So for example, for International Night, the thing that World Culture Club runs every year, we had a lot of our guest speakers help us run booths to promote RISE because it was very new. We started January of this year, and we were able to do so many things. The multicultural mural that you probably have seen in the school, that was RISE. RISE was never supposed to be like a permanent club. It was supposed to be like a mentorship one-on-one between, like, you get paired up with somebody who speaks the same language as you from an ESL class. But when we all met each other as students, we decided that we wanted this to be more. And we wanted this to be like something that continues on and not just like a one semester thing, because that was the original plan. And so one of the projects I wanted to do was a mural at the school. And we had a meeting with Mr. Maxwell to discuss that. And he was very like on board with the whole thing, which we're really grateful for because we didn't have to fight for this. And from there, we met with local artists. And in the end, we decided that we wanted Jill Wells to be our artist because we felt a connection with her and felt like she was the person who was able to translate all of the themes and all of the art styles that we all made together into this like huge, beautiful, like this gorgeous mural.
It's a fantastic project. And I hope people that are listening, if they haven't seen the mural that when they are in the high school, they stop and see it. It's fantastic. I particularly like the video of the time lapse. It's that's wonderful as well. Well, I tell you what, I need to make sure I get this in. So all of these efforts, you've been recognized for these efforts. The Chamber of Commerce recognized you for these efforts. And I was there. I sat next to, I believe, your dad and your grandpa is what
yes.
I'm getting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so tell us about the recognition that you received for some of these efforts.
So I think this, like, me winning that award goes into, like, the relationships I've built with staff in this district, because they were the ones who nominated me. Gianna Pugliese, she's the intercultural outreach coordinator of the district. Miss Downing, she's a retired English teacher at Valley High School. They were the ones who nominated me for this award. My drive to do this work was never because of any reward, but it was really nice that people appreciated my efforts, and I ended up winning, which I never expected to do. And I was really happy that I was given a platform during my speech. I spoke about how immigrants are targeted and used as scapegoats for larger, like, hateful ideologies, which they're often victims of themselves, and how we're all humans at the end of the day. We have more similarities than differences. Compassion and community and love are some things are like values that I lead life with. And I was very grateful that the chamber allowed me a platform to share those with larger, like, groups of people, organizations, and corporations during that event.
Anytime I see you, it's never about you. You have such a servant heart for others. It's just so admirable. So that's what's coming out already in this conversation, and I'm just really enjoying it. So clearly some adults in your life recognize this leadership, and you heard me start this conversation about, I love student voice and I love seeing students take leadership. I watched you do it in our DEI retreat, where you facilitated better than any adult, quite frankly, I've ever seen facilitate a panel and keep people on track. So I've seen it in action. But talk to me about, you know, what does student leadership look like in action to you?
For me personally, student leadership means accountability. In a lot of the clubs I'm in, I have duties that I have to present to each and every meeting. And I have members of those clubs that hold me to, there's a standard that I hold myself and that others hold me to. And I think that's a very, very important part of being a leader, because people have to have trust in you for you to lead them. And if the trust is not there, they're not going to want to be led by you. And my first experience with leadership was in CORE, where last year we organized a Black History Month announcement, where we have different students make intercom announcements about significant Black figures in American history. And to make it interactive with students, we had like a trivia game, and all of that needed to be organized. And that person, I stepped up and I was like, I want to do this. I had to contact all the speakers the day of, and sometimes when they didn't show up, I was the person who had to give the intercom on their behalf. The rewards that people would get when they answered the questions, that was something that I had to cover. So although a lot of people find an ego boost and satisfaction of being considered a leader or in that kind of regard, it's a lot of responsibility. And an ideal case of people who chose you for this role, I think that they should be, their wishes should be honored and, you know, like, sacred to you as a leader.
Fantastic. I love that response. So let's think about some of the projects and some of the organizations that you're working with. Definitely have some collective purpose and some common goals. And I heard you talk about trust and relationship. So how important is relationship and relationships within a group as they work towards collective purpose and common goals?
Oh, that is so, so essential. And to, like, the Southwood students who might be hearing this, I remember, because I was a new student at Valley, Southwood was my first experience at Valley. And I had to really put myself out there and to build relationship with people to get me to the point where I am today, and to not only, like, succeed as a student academically, but also in my social relationships, because it's such an important part of being a student. If you don't feel supported by your classmates, like, you're not going to be well inclined to, like, raise your hand and answer a question from everybody. Like, all those things are so important. And I think there's a responsibility on you to, you know, be an open person and try to ask about the people around you, because we all share this building, we all share the school district, and we all want it to be better for all of us. I would hope so. And so you also need to put that effort in and just being kind. Like, it really comes down to being kind for me.
You keep it simple, and that makes a lot of sense to me. So as I prepare for these podcasts, and you know, I do know the students, and that's what's been a lot of fun for me doing these, is I do know the students. And so I've been looking at the competencies within Portrait of a Graduate and thinking about the two that just really resonate with me as I think about who I'm talking to. And so when I was preparing for yours, I was looking at the competency of collaborator and the competency of global contributor. And when I think of you, those are the two that really resonate with me. Thinking about working together authentically, solving a problem together, and you've illustrated that so well in the work that you're doing. How well have we prepared you in West Des Moines schools to, you know, be effective, be an effective collaborator, and to really be able to be that global contributor?
I definitely think that this district puts a lot of time and energy into making sure there's resources available for students and preparing them for the real world. However, I do feel like there's a disconnect on if that information ever reaches the students themselves. And so, like, for my work personally, like, I've been trying to close the gap a little bit in the clubs that I'm in. But for me personally, I think, like, once I put myself out there and looked for the resources, I found them. But I think that it shouldn't be that way. It should be better communication between like people who work at the LRC building and students, because those people are very essential in getting things running in this district. And a lot of people don't know what they do and don't understand, like, the importance of their work because they can't see it. They have no way to reach it.
That's a great point. And I appreciate that perspective. So you mentioned, you know, Valley Southwoods. Mm-hmm. So let's think about that freshman coming in, preparing to head to Valley High School, have that high school experience. What advice would you give the freshman over at Valley Southwoods as you start thinking about that transition into the high school?
I would say that it can be very confined, like the place, because there's just only one class and all of that. But also, like, once you reach this point here, there's so much for you to do. There's people like you who are working into making those students feel a greater sense of community, because the transition between high school and middle school is kind of like stifling because they're on their own. So it kind of feels like middle school part two. But there's more to it, and you should be hopeful.
Okay, this is that spot where we're going to do a little bit of a shout out. So last night I was volunteering at the Clive Community Service Center, and even the folks in there working on their silver cord hours, I said, who's that adult? Anywhere I go when I run into a student, I want to know, are you connecting with an adult at school? So important. Now, first, your parent or your guardian, biggest fan, biggest cheerleader, the person you need to go to when you have a problem. But I also need an adult at school that you feel comfortable going to if you have a problem. Who would that be for you?
My adult person, I think it would be, she's not a teacher, but she's a very important part of the school. Miss Wintergrass, she is the secretary in the student services office. She has really helped me with, like, personal issues or any school issues that I have. She's such a kind person, and the work that she does often goes, you know, unseen, but I do really appreciate her. And somebody that I previously mentioned is Miss Gianna Pugliese. She's so, so amazing. And much of the accomplishment of RISE are because of her help and the resources that she provides. So those are my two people that I'm very close with.
And thank you for that. If you noticed, I asked who's the adult. I didn't ask who's the teacher, because I really believe that each and every adult in the building is contributing to our mission, which is to help you have and prepare you as a lifelong learner. So thank you for identifying somebody that may be not necessarily standing in front of the classroom, but still has an important role in our school. And you've reinforced a message that I've sent. So thank you for that. all right, kid, I need to know, what are you going to do? Now, at the award ceremony, they were fighting over you. There's a lot of universities in there, and they were fighting over you. They're like, come to my school. I need a student like you. So let's talk about it. What are you going to do after high school?
I really want to pursue secondary education. Like, it's very important for me because the women in my family, they were not able to receive half the education that I have received. So continuing that and getting a master's is something that's very, very essential to me. Career-wise, I think I'm thinking of being a public health person. And I think a lifetime goal for me that, like, I'm not too, like, rigid about how I'm going to get there is being able, I want to work with the United Nations and get girls in my home country of Sudan, get them education, because for a lot of political and war reasons and economic reasons, they're not able to have that. So I'm grateful the way my life turned out. I was able to come to a place where education is free, and I want to give girls, little girls, that opportunity as well. I think that's like my big bucket list goal of my life.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind, whatever you set your mind to, you're going to accomplish. So I think that's what's going to be fun. I absolutely enjoyed myself today. I was so tickled when I saw that you were going to be on my podcast today. And I appreciate your insight. I appreciate your leadership, what you're doing at Valley High School. And I appreciate your time today, sharing your thoughts with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Earning Your Stripes with Superintendent Matt Adams. We look forward to connecting with you again soon, maybe on our website, wdmcs.org, or on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter accounts. Subscribe on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and YouTube. See you soon.